All right. So hello, and welcome to our podcast, Motherhood Mess Unfiltered. And this is a safe space where we share and learn from one another about the beauty found in the messiness of motherhood. We represent and present the perspective of living life the Jesus way, the way Jesus needs us to live it, to raise up the next generation that will be the kingdom of heaven on earth. So I know that's a lot of words, and basically what that really means is that this is just a safe place to unravel the mess of motherhood as women of God, because before we are mothers, we are women, and we are women of God. So welcome to our repeat listeners and welcome to our new listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Make sure you leave some feedback on our program today, as we love to bring you guys into the conversation. So today's podcast is a little bit different, as I am Coach Janine Armstrong alongside Coach Sakira Baez and Coach Corey Messer. And today we have a special guest whom I am going to allow Coach Sakira to present her to you, as she knows more and more about who you are as a person. And what this really is focusing on today is that we're here all together for one reason, and because we as a collective have written a book.
Yes.
And we wrote a book called Motherhood Mess Unfiltered. And so in this book, today's our podcast, and let me just explain, we'll be a little bit different. We'll be a little bit organic. We're going to be a little bit freer with how we talk, a little bit more, I guess, your friendly neighbor, right? And so we just kind of digress a bit into why we wrote the book, how we wrote the book, and just kind of what this all means as moving forward as women of God, and the struggle in being that person, right? And so, hey, Sakira. I'm going to have you introduce Jeanette first, and then we're going to kind of move forward into why we're even here. Are you good to go, Sakira? Can we have you pop in?
Yeah.
Thanks, my love. Can we have
I'm good.
talk about yourself, that organic thing today? Go right ahead, my love.
So I am so excited because we have finally finished our book, Rhythms of Grace. If you haven't heard about it, if you haven't seen it, we're gonna pop a link in the comments on this podcast and let you know where to go, because in the first 24 hours, it's gonna be absolutely free, especially to our listeners, those people that support us, all of the things, right? And the foreword was done by my precious friend, Jeanette Davila Rivera. Hopefully I pronounced all of that right, because I just know her as Pastor Jay. But I'm gonna let her tell a little bit more about herself, because she knows herself better than even I do. I just know her as Pastor Jay, and she's an amazing woman of God. She's a TikTok influencer. She has a powerful voice. She is into naturopathic medicine. There's so much I could say about her. To be honest, she does a school. There's so many things that she does, and she is a resonating, resounding voice of the prophetic voice of God. And so I just want to honor her today. I'm like many hand claps. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for Pastor Jay.
Thank you so much for that, Sakura. I love the fact. Listen, Janine, you have such a radio voice. It's phenomenal. It's beautiful. Wow. And so I feel like I'm on a radio show. Loving that I'm here. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It means the world to me, just to see someone consider me. And so thank you. And I love the fact that I was able to forward the book, Rhythms of Grace, which I absolutely fell in love with immediately. So I'm gonna hop on board and get my copy, my free copy again. I'm Jay. And if you see me on social media, it's just literally, I am simply Jay. That's it. So when people ask, well, who are you? What do you do? Listen, I'm just a simple girl, okay, who does extraordinary things for the Lord. And so I love that he gets to use me. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York, and he's brought me all around the world because I'm still married to the same man, but he was in the military, and he's not in the military any longer. And so now we get to church plant, and that is something that we felt the Lord's desire for us to do. And that's what we've done thus far. This is our second church plant. Our first church plant was in Columbus, Georgia. I also, again, as Sakura says, authored about 3 books, and I have a workbook on my website also. I love pouring into women. My ministry, I learned the hard way, is a ministry of marriage restoration. And I didn't think that would be my ministry, but when you face some things in your own marriage and God restores that and does a miracle, I said, well, if he could do it for me, then he can do it for so many other women. And so I help women with that. I don't know how in the world I became an influencer on TikTok or Instagram. It just happened. I felt like God just paved the way. That wasn't my intent, but here we are. And now I get to meet women from all over the world and pour into them, from Jamaica, South Africa, Canada. I do have a private group of ladies that I pour into. I can go on. You know, God is really, really good. And so I'm super humbled again that he gets to use me. And literally, if you just ask me, I'm just simply Jay. That's it.
Jay, do you have kids?
Oh yes, that I should say that, right? Yeah. So I have 4 children, and they range from the age, my oldest is 27. She just got married. And then I have a 22-year-old son. I have a almost 19-year-old daughter, almost 18-year-old son. I do have 3 wonderful dogs, bulldog, chiweenie, and pitbull. And yeah, I consider them children as well.
That's so funny. That's and good. Like, isn't that how we all are? Like, our pets become our children eventually, especially as our children get older and they don't listen as much.
Yes.
At least our animals do. So awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. One of the things that I wanted to talk to everyone about today, we kind of set this up as a very organic, very unfiltered. In fact, yes. Nobody knew what we're going to be until I stepped into here and said, hey, we're going to do some questions. So none of this is pre-written, premeditated, any of those things. And of course, we invite the Holy Spirit into this podcast. But one of the questions, so whoever feels led to answer the question, and all 4 of us can answer this question, or whoever feels led, is the first question is, how do we, as women that are on this podcast right now, how do you find balance between expectations and reality and motherhood?
I can certainly jump in and answer that for myself personally. And then after that, I'll throw it over to Jeanette, because I would love to hear her answer. How do you find balance between expectations and reality in motherhood? You know, the word balance is incredibly interesting to me, because I used to use this word a lot. And then I went through a season where I felt like balance was a facade. I felt like balance was something that wasn't real. And I found that when I was believing that, it was really just my way to separate from myself from excellence, because if I believed something wasn't true, then I didn't have to work to acquire it. And God just really got a hold of my heart, and we went on a word treasure hunt around the word balance. And balance has multiple different meanings. I think there are 3 main meanings. It's been years since I did that study, but one of the meanings is the one that we all think of. You think of a scale. And when people think of balance, they think of both sides of the scale as being equal in weight. And that's a misnomer, because another description of balance is, if you imagine a soundboard, for those of you that do music, and you can think of all the little slides, I'm not sure what they're called. And when you look at that, sometimes some of those slides are up quite a bit, and some of them are down a little bit further. So you may think initially they're not balanced. However, they're all on the board. And as long as they're moving within the boundaries of that board, it is considered to be of balance. So likewise in our life, when we're doing things like ministry and motherhood and maybe even in the marketplace, these are a lot of varying components, and these can be equated to that visual of the different slides on the soundboard. So as long as we are advancing forward in all of them and we're not leaving one behind, we can consider our life to be a balance. Now, this is a very high level description of this, but so when we reflect on this question, how do you find balance between expectations and reality in motherhood? I like to pursue this with a spirit of curiosity. I like to start with Christ in it all and be like, you know what, Father? Honestly, I'm struggling in this area, or this feels like it's really going good. Lord, help me continue to be diligent in this capacity, because I think often when things are going well, there's a tendency to not pursue the Father in those arenas. But then when we're struggling, we're like, help, SOS, Father. And if we stay in consistent communion with him, they tend to stay in a closer group. For those of you that have any experience with target practice, if you're shooting a gun, this would be another visual. You have the bullseye in the middle, but having a balanced group doesn't necessarily mean they all hit the exact same part on the bullseye. But if you have a really tight group of five rounds that hit different areas of the bullseye, you would consider that pretty balanced, right? Because they're in generally kind of the same area. So I would say that my number one recommendation, aside from pursuing Christ first, is to really get curious about how it can look in this season. Because on this call, we have representation of children in their 20s. And I think the youngest is mine, who's not quite a year and a half. And we have kiddos all in between there. We have kiddos that are married. We have kiddos that are single. We have kiddos that are adults and young adults. And so those are very different seasons. I'm going to show up different in balancing motherhood and the realities and the expectations, very different with four kids, eight and under, versus someone who has a child that is married and they are becoming one with their spouse. That relationship is going to shift, right? So I would say get curious in a healthy, holy, and honoring way, meaning to do this in a healthy way is to go to God first and keep first things first. To do it holy is to know you're set apart. So don't fall into the comparison trap, beloved. Get curious about what God has prepared for you. And then you want to be honoring in the way that you show up. If you are fulfilling what it is that God has called you to, and you realize that, you know what, I had an expectation and the reality is looking a whole lot less Pinterest perfect. Do your best to be honoring in that situation, to know that you're not going to be perfect. And those are incredible opportunities to model and demonstrate to your child or children, what does it look like to apologize? What does it look like to walk in humility? And then you build a plan together with Christ to do better moving forward. So Jeanette, I would love to have you answer that question. And when you're done, mm-hmm. you can pass it on to Janine or Sakira.
Thank you. That was so good, Corey. Just the way that you just generalized that, and holy moly. when it comes to balance, I'll be honest with you, being in the forefront and living my life as if I was living in a glass fishbowl was very difficult for my children. And I've been doing full-time ministry since I was 18 years old. Mind you, I was a mama at the age of 17. And so eyes were always on me. And of course, my family, as we just continue to extend. And for me, it was always, I always had that thought, I have to be perfect. My kids have to be right. You know, I'm a young mom. They're going to judge me. Or it was just so much. And I think I put so much pressure on my oldest two children, and they felt that pressure, which they became very upset, not at God, but with church in general. And so it was very difficult later on. To just remain in those standards. Like, we're a perfect family. No, you can't get a nose piercing. No, you can't do this. We have to look right. no, you can't dye your hair that color. And that's how it was, you know. So the expectancy for me was just, God, I need to be perfect. And I don't know why in the world I lived my life that way for so long. And I came, listen, when you have teenagers, that's a whole different ballgame of children. And oh my goodness, my daughter gave me a run for my money here, actually my older two. And I realized, you know what? Life isn't perfect. I can't, like, I don't know how to balance well. I was balancing my own personal life. I was balancing ministry, family. It was just very difficult. And so it came to a point where my daughter began to struggle with her own mental health when depression hit her hard. And I realized I'm pastoring a church with my husband. I'm co-pastor. And so I'm leading women, I'm saving souls, but my house is dying. And I said, how can I, God, how can I remain just whole in this entire situation? How can I balance everything? How my kids are, they're just not there, you know? And so anyway, long story short, my daughter was at risk. And I'll be cautious with my words because I know how social media can be also. And so she was at risk for unaliving herself. And this happened about twice. And I realized I need to pull back and I need to wipe some things off of my plate. And if you look at your dinner plate, sometimes we fill it up with too many carbs or too much meat or too much sugar. And so I had to just wipe some things off of my plate and say, God, I'm dedicating what is supposed to be my first ministry. And that is my family, my children. And so I realized fairly quickly, and I see this happen all the time, even now with pastors' wives, and they're burnt out, pastors are tired, and the children are just not coming back to church anymore or to the feet of Christ anymore. Anyway, so that's where I had to learn, okay, true balance. And I don't have to be this perfect mom. I'm going to fail. My kids are going to fail. And I just need to be myself, who God created me to be. And I hope that whoever's listening, you know, they can resonate with that, that life is just not going to look perfect. And that's all right.
That was great. I love that. I think it is so important to realize that there is a balance. And I think that, like, that's the beginning of recovery. So once you realize that there is a balance that is needed, and that you can, and that you can show up imperfectly. Because our kids see the best and the worst of us. And we get caught up in the social media, you know, you only see the highlight reels of people's lives or what you, and it's just not like that. Like, the life is unfiltered. It's a mess sometimes. And that's what we like to really hone in on. Janine, I would love to hear you answer, what role does self-compassion play in your journey as a mother?
Yeah, that's a good one. Because I think as mothers, we often forget ourselves first. It's like I heard a man say one time on a documentary that if you put a woman and her child or her seed or whoever she's caring for with her in an airplane and those oxygen masks come down, they always make sure the kids have theirs first. But in actuality, self-care is very, very important, because if you don't make it to the mask, you don't make it to that next piece, right? And so sometimes we forget that as mothers, especially working moms and those who, just like Jeanette, live their lives in the eye of others, sometimes we can burn the candle at both ends. And restoration really comes when you see that you actually need it for yourself, when people aren't getting the best version of you. I used to, ooh, Jesus used to convict my heart by how I used to talk to my kids when I was young. And I did a lot of yelling because I was a perfectionist because of my own problems that I grew up with trying to perfect, because growing up in the environment that I grew up in, you only showed people the Jesus side. You didn't show them, I'll say it like this, you show them your dirt. You don't show them your dirty dirt. You show them your clean dirt. And so, yes, you can see my clean dirt, but I don't want you to see behind the veil where I have to cry every night. And maybe I only eat beans for a week, you know, but That being said, that self-care really does help you turn the corner of understanding that if you don't give yourself the opportunity, number one, to recover, number two, to actually feel and know that these feelings are valid and that sometimes you have to work that out with Jesus and you have to be like, Jesus, I let a lot of things get in front of me that I needed to get in front of, so to speak. Because sometimes, like a lot of times I'll go days and days and days and don't wash my hair. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I got to do my hair, you know? And what I realized was I'm realizing more and more my own self-care, because one of the days, and this is fun, this was funny, but it was also very revealing. When I got married to my husband, my sister went with me to try on wedding dresses, you know, such a good time. And when we get in there, my sister says this comment to all the people who are in the room. Yeah, my sister ain't wore a dress a day in her life. She has no idea how to wear one. And I about flipped my wig. I was like, God, is that what I show people? Is that what they see? You know, I love to show people how much God loves them. But if they can't get past me not taking care of me, how can I prove that God also takes care of me? Right. And so I learned that self-care has to start with me taking care of even the understanding that I need taken care of. Because you know how we do, oh, I'm okay, go do your thing. Oh, I'm okay, I'm gonna just suffer through it. But sometimes as mothers, we have to realize that we are women first, and we were created by God for worship. And when we get before the Father and we kneel before him, he helps us realize those things that we need so we can be the best version of, number one, ourselves. And number two, then we can go into the world and we can be great for other people. And I had that happen so many times because I am a working mother, and I have been, and I have had to realize that there are just some things I can't incorporate into my life. But there are things that are so excellent that are, because I may have forgotten some things along the way because I was so busy. But my children will tell you of all the good times, because I made sure I made up for it. But I really was making up for me not being there because I had that guilt. But, you know, when I laid it at the feet of Jesus, you know what Jesus told me? He said, your kids didn't miss anything. They had the best years of you. I need you to realize that you need it for you. And when you hear your husband saying it, when you got friends sending you makeup in the mail, when you got sisters and brothers taking you out on, you need a massage. And it's obvious that I'm realizing I need some help, Jesus. Everybody is seeing it, but I need to take better care of myself. I need to think of me too. And so a lot of times that was just one of the ways I got over the self-comparison. Or I'm sorry, that's how I gained self-compassion, because I had to realize, number one, I was comparing myself to other mothers. Sometimes I was comparing myself to my mother and my sister. And let me tell you, I don't compare when it comes to mothering, because my mother didn't work and my sister didn't work and I do. And so I was comparing myself, and you talking apples and oranges. So I didn't understand. And I was living a life that was, I was comparing myself to them. And when I realized that God said my babies didn't miss anything, it was as if God said, I'm pleased with the person you became. It is okay not to be your mother. It is okay not to be that mother. It is okay not to be those mothers, but your motherhood is still important and it's needed. And so my motherhood goes with me everywhere. It goes with me to work. It goes with me to church. It goes with me everywhere. It's okay, God, I'm learning how to have the compassion of even what he gave me as a lover of Christ. I love to show people that God will take care of you. I love to tell people that God will heal them and things like that, but just because of the nature of my work. And I need them to see that in me also. And so I've learned to just kind of take better care of me sometimes. And Sakira knows this, Corey knows this. I will reach out and say, hey y'all, I need some prayers today. I'm in my feelings. I'm feeling some type of way about myself even. And even this book that we wrote, Rhythms of Grace, challenged me to take a good look at myself, to take a good look of what I have allowed in, to take a good look of how I even see myself. Because when you read the words that you wrote about yourself, it's like, oh, okay, that's the picture I really wanted people to see. I can see that from the abundance of my heart, my mouth has spoken. And it just really has, it gives me more of a compassion of taking care of myself because I can give people a better version of me. If that makes sense at all, right? So I hand that back over to you, Coach Sakira.
So Pastor Jake, how do you cope with guilt or self-criticism, and what practices have you used that help you maintain a positive mindset?
Wow. I literally was just talking to someone about this yesterday, that mom guilt. And for me, again, I have four children in total. My two youngest were raised just slightly different than my two oldest. When my husband was in the military, he was barely around. He did two tours to Iraq. He was never really around. And so thank God it was, you know, because he was just out there, you know, not only fighting a war, but also, you know, he had to work, obviously. And so they barely got to see him. So that mom guilt in me would give the children whatever they wanted. Or sometimes if I wasn't, you know, to my best, where Janine was talking about just that comparison of, you know, I'm not like my mother, I'm not like other people or other women who are mothers. And so for me, I felt like with the two oldest, I parented them just out of guilt, and I would give them whatever they wanted, or I just didn't feel good enough to be their mom. It was very strange. And so for me, dealing with that, I had to really take it to God. Honestly, I know it sounds so cliche to say, but I had to get down on my knees in that posture on my face and cry out, God, I know that this, you gave me a womb for a reason. And so I birthed these children and I shouldn't feel the way that I feel. And so sometimes I felt I couldn't provide enough for them. I couldn't give them enough. And so I was just trying to compensate for their father not being around in that time. And so I began to journal my thoughts. And I was always a writer since I was a child. And so I just began to journal out my thoughts and just give it to God there. I'm not going to say that I have this explosive way of dealing with that guilt, but I do pray out and I command guilt to leave me, because even now it'll set in, like Janine, again, I can resonate. I was a working mom. I have always worked. And if I stood home, it was maybe for a season, but then I was back at work. And so in order to live comfortably, we both had to have dual income. And working had me feeling like I wasn't a good enough mom. Look at the stay-at-home moms. Look at the clubs that there are for these stay-at-home moms and the children. And I felt I don't have anything in common. And so again, that comparison would come up and then guilt would happen. So each time guilt would come, I would say, God, remove this from me because it doesn't belong to me. You're a God of peace. You're a God of love. And guilt is not from you. So if it's not from you, where is it coming from? And so I would bind guilt, rebuke it, and then just continue on, you know, loving my kids, I guess, the best way that I could. But journaling really, really saved me. And finding a group, like a community of women who can resonate and understand me. So I love that you guys have that relationship where, like Janine said earlier, you know, she can call on you guys and say, hey, I'm not feeling good, even about myself right now. Well, I had to develop that and see, okay, who can I trust? Who can I have around me? And just speak out, you know, in that way. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's so important for us to have those positive mindsets. And one of the things that the Lord has led me, the journey he has led me to, is that he broke down. And this was just recently here in the last few weeks. He said, we're in a season where we have to develop community. And he broke down the word community into common unity. So finding the people you have a common unity with and advancing the kingdom of God makes you that much more effective. It's really important that people don't find themselves in a position of isolation, because it literally not only isolates them from the world, but it isolates them from their purpose. And the enemy can only pick you off if he knows you're alone. if you've got a cohort around you, right? It's not so easy. If you've got prayer warriors around you, the Bible says that one sets 1,000 to flight, but two sets 10,000 to flight. So the more people that you can have come around you and cover you in prayer, right? Especially when you're feeling some kind of way, especially when your mindset isn't, you're feeling that weakness. And I love how you said, Jay, about, you know, commanding that guilt away from you, you know, commanding that self-criticism away from you, because the enemy likes to come and he likes to whisper. And sometimes we think those thoughts are our own thoughts. And sometimes they are. Sometimes it's our flesh that we have to wrestle out. But sometimes it's a spirit. We need to shut it down and shut it up by taking our authority as believers. So this leads us into our last question that we're going to address today. And that's, how do we create a space for ourselves amidst the demands of a motherhood? And I'm just going to start off by saying that with that, I mean, I think it's so important and imperative that we have boundaries, that we set those boundaries in place. We've talked about that in the past, but boundaries around our time, boundaries around our energy, our atmosphere. We have to realize that it's so important that we realize that sometimes what we say yes to means we have to say no to other things. And sometimes what we're saying no to allows us to say yes to God things. So we have to make sure that we're aligning our purpose and our paths with what God has for us in and out of season. Because the one step leads to the next step. It's just like I was listening to someone yesterday and they were talking about even Pharaoh had a purpose in God's plan. The very man who was holding the Israelites hostage in Egypt, right, was a part of their freedom. And it was for the glory, so the glory of the Lord could be known and shown. Amen. And so, like, I go back and I think about situations and circumstances where I've had to say no to people and they didn't really like it. They felt some kind of way about it. You know what I mean? And they're like, and I see like how God was orchestrating my energy so that I could do other things, so that I could be about God's business and not just good business, if that makes sense. So, you know, even with my children, saying no to certain things with them and say, you know, recently what that has looked like I have a daughter who's now 16 and she can drive herself. And so last night she asked me, she said, do you want me to drive us to youth group? And I said, yes, because that gives me an hour back of my time. And it comes with like this catch in your spirit, you know what I mean? Like, what, you know, because that there's still that learning to trust. And then there's also that fear that comes in, like, what if they get in an accident? You know what I mean? All of those things. But it's like, you have to, at some point in time, you have to trust God to take care of your children. And you have to remember that God has allowed you to become that safety net of security, the SOS, right? So we as mothers, when we partner with God, we become that safety net of security. So we catch them when we need to, right? And we release them to go and try again. And it's like they become like these trapeze artists who are flying through the air, and eventually they'll get it, right? If they try enough times, they'll get it. And we're just there to catch them, just like the Father catches us when we may miss the mark, right? And so we get to be that place and that space for our children as well. So with that, creating space for ourselves amidst the demands of motherhood, that boundaries is such an important puzzle piece for you to put in place in order for you to navigate through motherhood and the mess of motherhood. If you're not putting boundaries in place, then people are stepping all over you, including your children. And you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling stressed and you're feeling frustrated. It's in those moments that you have to kind of backtrack and say, God, have I taken on, you know, something that wasn't intended for me? And if you have, it's very simple. You just repent, right? Renounce, you break agreement with, and you say, God, forgive me and ask him, you know, where did this come from? You know, how did I end up here? How did I end up in this situation of so much frustration and overwhelm? And then you know, and the Bible says, going back to the word, you can always pull scriptures, and you can, worst case scenario, Google scriptures against fear. You know what I mean? And it'll pull up a list of scriptures, and you can speak those scriptures into your atmosphere, and it will literally, you become an atmosphere changer at that moment, because you're partaking. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So that works can be a matter of you declaring and decreeing and standing on the word of God and saying, this is my portion. This is not, this jacket of stress is not mine. This jacket of overwhelm, it's not mine. I'm not wearing these jackets because they don't belong to me. And I refuse to partake in them because this is what the word of God says and says for me. It says, be anxious for nothing. It says, cast your cares on him because he cares about you. You see what I'm saying? So having a strategy in place when those times happen helps keep you in that space where you can be present for your children. They need our presence. They need us to be present because we are the present. We are the gift to them. Just like they are the gift to us, we are the gift to them. So it's a multifaceted gift, if you will. And so with that, I'm going to turn it back to talk about how she creates space for herself in the demands of motherhood.
Hey, Sakura, cut out for a minute. So I'm not sure who you mentioned there. Did you say Jay or somebody else?
I said Jay.
Oh, okay. I did. You did cut out. I was like, I love what you said, Sakura. So, so powerful, but that's just who you are, just powerful. And so God uses you mightily in that area. Whenever I create space for myself, like right now, I'm not even home. I am at a beautiful cafe in Oklahoma City, and I'm just sectioning out time for myself. And so I had awesome tacos here, and that's my space time. That's my mental space. This is my escape. I need to get away from the house. And if there's an area in the house, then I need to just enclose in that tiny area. I know there's people that can work around tons of noise. I just can't do it. God did not wire me that way. I'm an introvert through nature or by nature. And so I just, you know, this is my little escape here. Now, escaping my thoughts, that's something that I'm learning to master because I'm such an overthinker. And I think most women are. We have like a million thoughts in a day, I think. And so our thoughts are something that we have to just capture and say, all right, God, is this from you? Is this my thought? Or is this something sent from the enemy? And so learning to filter through all of that. And so I realized that escaping even within myself, I need to escape from all of the negative things that can immediately come to mind. And I made a TikTok on this. I was very, very transparent. And I was showing women or people in general, these are the thoughts that go through my mind on a daily basis. It can be, you're not worthy enough for this job, or you're not doing enough. You're not creating enough, or, you know, different things like that. And it's like, these are the mental thoughts that I have to battle through. And so you may see me smiling, happy on social media, but these are some personal things also that I battle through. And so I think it's okay to be raw and real, which I think that this podcast is such a blessing to so many mothers who put the expectations so high. It's okay to fail, but it's not okay to just stay there. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. And depending what we speak out, that's what will come about. And so I think speaking life into the atmosphere that is safe for me, that I'm creating in my own mind, then in my own brain, I have a little area with a living room set up. And I'm like, God, it's just me and you in here. And you are my safe space. And so just sectioning out time, I think it's super important for all the mamas listening, women listening in general.
That was absolutely beautiful. I love, you know, it's so fascinating, right? And so for the mama listening to this right now, just look at the four of us that are on this call. Just imagine there's four different dynamic women who represent the expansive diversity of Christ's creativity. And so we are not meant to fit in. You know, we are a peculiar people, you know, we are set apart. And so there is a dynamic connection that happens when you show up as all of who God created you to be. And so it is important for you to know who you are and all that God created you to be, that you spend time with him. So on here, there are four of us, and God kept highlighting this phrase, country and Christ, because these are things that all of us women have in common, right? We either have a husband or a father or a brother or in the service, or we have served in the service. So thank you, Janine. Thank you to everybody who has served our country or your country, depending upon where you're at in the world. So there's that, but then there's also Christ. We have Holy Spirit within us. And so we're talking about things today around curiosity and perfection and living this life that is an unfiltered mess of motherhood. And even in the mess, we can partner with the peace, because peace isn't the absence of chaos. And so I think for me, how do I create space for myself amidst the demands of motherhood is I intentionally prioritize peace, just little pops of peace. And so sometimes, ladies, that's going to the bathroom by myself and letting my husband know, babe, I need 3 minutes, like uninterrupted. Okay, put the baby gate up. I'm not opposed to them doing technology at this time. Like, I need to breathe with Jesus, right? Or think of moments that you're already naturally going to be isolated, hopefully. I know sometimes those little ones sneak in, but like when you're going to the bathroom, right? When you're taking a shower, when you're getting yourself, when you're crawling into your bed, and it doesn't have to be 45 minutes of uninterrupted time. It can be a moment. We are pausing to have that peace. And what that does is it helps reset your nervous system. It helps regulate your nervous system, which overflows into your emotional regulation, which outpours into the atmosphere that you are impacting. And as one of the ladies mentioned on here earlier, we are called to shift those atmospheres. And so when we walk in the authority, as Jay was saying, when we walk in the authority that we carry, even though we do it imperfectly, and that is how you can shift those atmospheres. Coach Janine was talking about, you know, the dress moment or doing her hair. Ladies, for me, it's a shower. And many of you know, like, I'm a certified personal trainer, so I'm in the gym a lot. And I'll get up one day and be like, whoa, I've bathed the kids twice and I haven't taken a shower yet. Like, mama, go clean yourself for the love of all things holy. And so I think these are experiences that we all have. If it's not doing our hair, if it's not taking a shower, if it's not sitting down to eat, you know, I don't know how many times I've been walking and on a call and I'm nursing a baby and I'm trying to just get a little nibble of something to eat, and it's impairing my digestion. It's at the expense of my well-being. My nervous system is constantly in flight mode or fight mode for that matter. And God designed us to have rest. So we get to remember that we are first a child, then we are a co-heir and a citizen. And so part of taking care of ourselves and creating space for ourselves amidst all the demands is to steward well what it means to be a child of God, to steward well what God has given us. And then ask the Father, you know, Lord, I want to partner with you as a co-heir. What have you placed within me that then I can contribute to my first ministry, which is my home ministry? I can contribute to the marketplace. I can contribute to my community. And when we do that, we shift from this place the enemy wants us, which is isolated, to this place of being inclusive. And I think all of the incredible women of God have touched on that today, which is community. You know, when we talk about rhythms of grace, one of the ways that we learn to extend grace to ourselves is by seeing it modeled by the company that we keep. And if there are people in your circle and you can't pick one person that extends a little grace your way, then beloved, I encourage you to look at what another circle could be for you. Get curious about what that could be for you. And I noticed for myself, one of the strategies that I've used is movement to shift my mindset. or when my children are struggling with, you know, processing certain thoughts and big emotions, we don't villainize the emotions. We find a way to move their body and get that feeling of being stuck in this emotion. We move it. So for a while with one of my children, they were dealing with anger and they would ball up their fists. And we said, like, let's give it some way to go. And so we would do like a meditation, where a biblical meditation, where we would focus on a scripture that dealt with how to handle anger. And we would say that as we were moving our body, that physically represented what my child thought, you know, anger would look like. So maybe we were like punching in the air up towards the heavens, and we were like repeating this Bible verse and releasing it up to God. So get creative, get curious. You know, we are created in the image of God, and He is the creator that created all of creation. So I will finish with this, and then I'm going to hand it back over to Coach Janine to wrap us up. But when Coach Sakir was talking about the trapeze artist, and we have to, you know, let our kids go, I immediately heard, learn to trust. Trust will expose. Exposure happens with light. And so what we get to do is we learn to trust the Father by being willing to trust Him. Put yourself in that vulnerable place where you are, we'll just really give you a visual. You are just naked before the Lord. You are completely exposed, and you're giving all of your imperfectness to Him, because, beloved, He already chooses you every day. And so I just really want to encourage you, just as we give our children to the Lord, to remember to give yourself to the Lord as well. And when you learn to trust Him, the trust will expose them in those impure areas that God wants to partner with you to purify. And when you're purifying water, there's always this process where you shake it up a little bit to lift up the sediment, and the water gets a little murky before it gets purified. Our experience is very similar. But know that when you trust the Father and He exposes those things and you give them to Him, then the light that you have within you is no longer dimmed by the dirt, but it is brightened, and it goes farther. You think of a lighthouse. And so we get to capture the heart of the Father by contemplating things with Him and then connecting that in real world application with your spouse, with your children, with your community. So it is my prayer for you that as you are exploring what rhythms of grace look like in your own life, that you get curious with Christ about how you can creatively infuse a unique experience in this season for you and your family, because God gave you those babies. And so it is our job, it is our honor to steward that with excellence. And you also have grace to do it imperfectly. So Coach Janine, I'm going to pass it back over to you.
All right. Listen, I love how God just has our language flow. I love that. And speaking of safe places, Corey, you mentioned unique experiences just a second ago, and the Lord was reminding me of a unique experience that I just experienced a couple of days ago. And speaking of safe spaces, you know, creating for in the talk of creating a safe space to think, I was at a track meet with my daughter, and it was the first time one of her coaches had met me. And I walked up and I hugged her and I gave her a high five, and the coach walked right beside me in between me and my daughter and said, "Hey, so when are we going to meet your mom?" And she looked at me and I said, "Oh, I am her mom." And she says, "No, I mean, are you her real mom?" And I had a choice at that moment. In order for me to explain that, my daughter is dark skinned like my husband. And I am, if you don't know me, I am rather very fair. And the coach had no idea that I was not her biological mother. But as in all things, for me, I have realized that when I show up in a place, I show up as I am not. And what I mean by that is I show up with all the love and the grace and the hope and all the things. And you know how some things are in real small packages, you know? And so I had a choice in that moment to react to being offended at the nature of what she said and taking on the ability to be offended, or I had that moment where I could show my daughter, and not just my daughter, but all the other girls who were around us, that it is one thing to, and we all learned this as a child, to be thought a fool, but to open your mouth and remove all doubt, you know, you get that opportunity to not just help them get past that mindset of that couldn't possibly be because you two look so different. But what I did is I leaned my head in and I said, baby, I am her biological mother. And she seemed so shocked in the face, as if to say, I can't believe that. And I represent, right? And I'm realizing I represent that thing that's unbelievable. And so I'm just like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so I had that moment where I chose to keep that moment safe, not just thinking wise, but with our mouths, because sometimes we say things with our mouths that create realities that don't work for us. They actually work against us. And so at that moment, I was able to pull us all in together, and I was able to break the mindset that some women of color have about other women of color. And so at that moment in time, I realized God used me just for something so small. And what I did is I even created a safe space so she could think better and not receive the anger in me that could have been offended at her question as to whether I was or was not my daughter's biological mother. So, but all things being said, today we've been talking about self-compassion. We've been talking about balance and expectations, boundaries, and that safe place that God has asked us to come in so we can create a better community, not just for ourselves before, but for everyone everywhere. Because if God wants to heal our land, some of us got to cry out, right? So this has been an amazing podcast today. And Jeanette, Pastor Jay, or just Jay, we just want to thank you wholeheartedly, number one, for reading and forwarding our book. And more so, we want to thank you for even joining us today, taking the time out of your schedule, taking the time to converse with us about motherhood while being an amazing role model and influencer and a woman who is going after Jesus, a woman who that blessing to God, bringing that blessing not just to God, but also to the land, and bringing the glory as you do. And so we say thank you to you. We also want to say thank you to all of our faithful who keep showing up and believing in our ministry. We thank you for inviting other moms in who need our community, which is on Facebook. That is Motherhood Mess Unfiltered. Don't forget to get your copy of our book. That's great. Called Rhythms of Grace, forwarded by the great and wonderful, amazing Pastor Jay that is here with us today. So we want to say you can get that from the Amazon bookstore. eKindle version will be free for the first 24 hours. Ding, ding, ding. Just saying. So family, we love you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace today. And in the name of Jesus, we will see y'all next week. Mwah! Have a lovely rest of your week.